Okay, Parshas Devarim. This week is Parshas Devarim. Many people ask, what is the difference between the Torah of Mishneh Torah, Chumash Devarim, and the first four Chumash, first four Svarim, Bereish, Shmos, Vikram, Bamidbar? What is the difference? So first of all, let me just do this as Sfas Emes, just to open up the Inyan. The Sasemi says you can compare the Chamisha Chumshe Torah to the Tfilin Shel Yad and the Tfilin Shel Rosh. The Tfilin Shel Rosh has four separate compartments. The Tfilin Shel Yad has one compartment. All of the parshios, the four parshios in the Tfilin Shel Yad, are merged together on one piece of parchment. That's the difference between the first four Chumashim and Chumash Devarim. First four Chumashim are four separate, distinct sections. Each one has its own message. Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu, is Mishneh Torah. Chumash Devarim is a summary. It's a synopsis of the first four Chumashim. It's merged together. And that's how we have to look at Chumash Devarim. It encompasses everything that appears in the first four Chumashim in a shortened, mysterious form. And there's a very beautiful Vilna Gaon. I want to use this to explain something about Chumash Devarim. The Vilna Gaon says that we know it is the menorah. We have one of the Klei Sharis in Beis HaMikdash is the menorah. The menorah has many parts. Each part of the menorah corresponds to the opening pasuk of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. The first pasuk in Bereishis has seven words. Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Eis, Hashamayim, the Eis Aretz. The first seven words, those seven words correspond to the seven neros, the seven branches of the menorah. The first pasuk in Chumash Shemos has 13 words. That corresponds to the 13 flowers that are on the menorah. The first pasuk in Chumash Vayikra has 9 words, and that corresponds to. I made a mistake. The pasuk in Chumash Shemos corresponds. No, wait, give me 1 second. I'm going to remember. The first pasuk in Chumash Shemos is 13 words. That corresponds to the 13 kaftorim. Okay, there are 13 knobs, those round balls on the menorah, in between each the branches. And on the bottom, you have to look at the menorah later on in the picture books, you'll see there are 13 knobs called kaftorim on the menorah. That corresponds to the 13 words of the first 13 words of the Chumash Shemos. What about the first pasuk in Vayikra? There are 9 words. That corresponds to the 9 flowers. Okay, that's the 9 perachim. And now we come to Bamidbar. What does Bamidbar? Bamidbar has 17 words. So the Gros says that corresponds to the height of the menorah. The menorah is 17 tvachim. The legs were 18. It does not count the legs as part of the menorah. This is the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, if you count the menorah, there were 17 tefachim. This corresponds to the 17 words of the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. What about Chumash Devarim? Chumash Devarim has 22 words. What do the 22 words correspond to? The 22 cups. The Gevi'im. You go home later, you look at the menorah in the picture, there are cups, there are goblets, cups, there are cups. After the cup comes a knob. After the knob comes, below the knob is the flower. Then there are 3 cups. Then there's a knob. And then there is the ner. You look at the menorah later on, you'll see. If you count the number of cups on the menorah, you will discover there are 22 cups. And the center, the menorah, also you have to look at the base of the menorah. There are 22 cups. The 22 cups correspond to the 22 words in the beginning of Chumash Devarim. Okay, this is a popular vort from the Vilna Gaon. So very quick, to read very quickly again, we have Chamish Chumshei Torah. There are seven words in Bereishis that correspond to the seven arrows. There are 13 words in Shemos that correspond to the 13 knobs. There are nine words in Vayikra correspond to the nine flowers. There are 17 words in Bamidbar corresponding to the 17 tefachim, the height of the menorah. And then there are the 22 words of Devarim which correspond to the 22 cups. What is the significance of this? So first of all, what is the purpose of all the parts of the menorah? The flower, the knob, the neiros obviously are the receptacles for the oil. But that's not for now. But let's just focus on Devarim. We're learning now Devarim. Ela hadvam. There are 22 words in the first pasuk of Devarim. What is the function of the cup? So simply, most Mefarshim learn that it's nothing more than a decoration. It's a beautification of the menorah. It does not serve any real function. To beautify the menorah, there's a flower, there are knobs, there are cups. We are not familiar with art, the style, the way things were done in the times of the Mishkan, but this appears to have been something which was common in ancient times. That's a very simple approach. Elu ve'elu divri elokim chaim. There's certainly truth in that. But there was, of course, much deeper meaning as well. The Chizkuni says something which is very different. He says that the cups served a real function. These are cups. And you have to look at the picture very carefully. The purpose of these cups was to collect oil that fell over the top. You all are very familiar. When you light your menorah, I'm sure your wife warns you, be careful, don't spill the oil on the floor. Don't make a mess. You light the menorah, and you put that a nice plate, a nice silver tray under the menorah to collect the wax and any oil that spills. The menorah did not have a tray underneath. It doesn't say that anywhere. There was no silver tray to collect the oil that spilled. Because it was built into the menorah. The cups, those three cups, would collect if oil would spill from the top, would overflow. If it would overflow, it would fill up the first cup. And if that would fill up, it would go into the second cup, and then into the third cup. And then, if there was the oil kept on overflowing, it would then trickle down the branch and fill up in the cup that was along the main stem of the menorah. There were four chances for the oil to be collected if the oil would, chas v'shalom, overflow from the top of the menorah. Three cups on each branch, and if those three cups would be filled to capacity, it would then trickle down to the center branch and collect there. And you're going to love this. What is the significance of this? So first, what is oil? So there are numerous memory chazal that compare oil to Torah. What? The Torah are. Ner mitzvah, the Torah, that's the light. But we have to focus also, okay, I don't remember the exact medish. You have to trust me on this. I'm sure you can look, there are Torah is compared to milk, compared to water, compared to shemen. There is such a chazal that Torah is compared to shemen. The Torah of Chumash Devarim is, as many Mefarshim speak about, is the Torah for Golos. We spoke about the Sasemes, it's a general opening to understand that it's a review, it's Mishnah Torah, it's put together. There's a very big difference between the Tefillah Shel Rosh and Tefillah Shel Yad. The Tefillah Shel Rosh is V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikrolecha. The Tefillah Shel Yad, V'hoya l'cholois, it's private. It's something which is only for you. The Torah of Devarim is the Tefillah Shel Yad. It represents Klal Yisrael in a state, in a matzav where we don't have V'rohu kol amei aretz. It's private. It's only V'hoya l'chol ois v'lo lachem. It represents the Torah of Golus. There are many mitzvahs that appear in Chumash Devarim that do not appear in Chumash, the first four Chumashim. Why? Because those mitzvahs relate specifically to things that we have to be aware of in Golus. For example, Yibum. Yibum deals with a tzara. where a person dies without children. That's not an ideal situation. That's a very great sorrow. That does not appear in the first book of Chumashim, because the first book of Chumashim referred to Klal Yisrael's matzav in the state of Geula, Hiskalus, not in the state of Golus. In Golus is a time of tzara. So now let's look at Chumash Devarim. What does Chumash Devarim relate to in the Menorah? The Gevi'im. What are the Gevi'im? The Gevi'im collect the Shemen. What does it represent? Where does the Shemen belong? The Shemen belongs on top. It belongs on the very top. But sometimes the Shemen goes to Golus. The Shemen is not in its Mokoy. Where does it go? There are four different stages corresponding to the four Golios of Bavel, Yavam, Yavam, and Edom. There are four different cups which collect the Shemen, because Shemen sometimes goes into Golos. Chumash Devarim is the Torah for Golos. Chumash Devarim corresponds to the cups. The cups collect the Shemen. When the Shemen goes away, it leaves its primary Mokoyim. It spills. It goes into Golos. It has to be protected. It has to be contained. Moshe Rabbeinu here is giving us the blueprint how to contain Torah in Golos. And the blueprint for Golos is four. Bavel, Paras Hamadai, Yavon, Edom. Chazal tell us that the cups were decorated. How were they decorated? Like designs found in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. In the Beis Hamikdash, you have the menorah, and what design have they selected? All of the leading designers, the graphic artists, have presented there. The one that won was Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. Why? Because the four Golios are really all contained in the Golos Mitzrayim. The Yitzhiyah from Mitzrayim is the blueprint for the remaining four exiles of Bavel, Paros Hamadai, Yavan, and Edom. Therefore, since the Golus is the essence of Golus is Mitzrayim, and just as we came out of Mitzrayim, we will one day come out of the four Golios. That is why it is precisely we have a reminder of Mitzrayim on the Gevi'im, because the Gevi'im is the object which is there to preserve and to protect the Torah when the Torah leaves its primary makom and goes into Gaul. So all of these ideas come together. Let's review B'kitz Nimrod, the Rosh HaFarkuz, a lot of different parts. We have the Menorah, and the Menorah has Gevi'im, and the part of the Gevi'im corresponds to Chumash Devarim. The function of the Gevi'im is to protect the Shemen when the Shemen leaves its makom. Shemen is Torah. When the Shemen goes into Gaulis, there has to be Shmirah. That's what Chumash Devarim is. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving us the blueprint how to protect the Torah when the Torah goes into Golos. The mitzvahs, the hidden nuances and expression and approach to Torah in Chumash Devarim is Torah for Golos. You have to protect yourself in Golos. The Gevi'im is the beginning of Chumash Devarim. That's what the Gra says. Because that's what the Gevi'im do. They protect the Torah when the Torah goes into Golos. And that's why there are four Gevi'im. Four Gevi'im, because Golos is defined in four different stages. And that's why it's decorated with a decoration of Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim represents the Shoresh of Golos. And just as we have survived Mitzrayim, we will survive the Dal Malchios as well. Okay, that is one idea. Let's go to another idea.
No, the
Chizkuni just says the function of the cups.
So the Gra?
The Gra says the 22. The 22.
Put it together, one on one.
I'll leave that for your imagination. Okay, let's now go to an idea. Let me tell you a very short idea. I have a few things that I want to tell you a short idea. We have given the parasha. This is just a remes. I have something more significant I want to tell you, but let's just take a little break with a little remes. Achad osor yoy mecharev derech har seir ad kodesh panea. Moshe Rabbeinu gives Musar to Klal Yisrael by telling them that it should have taken 11 days. Rashi, I'll read you the Rashi. Rashi says, Amal lechem Moshe, ru'u ma shego mart, shego ramtem. Look at what the harm you've caused yourself. Ein lochem derech kitzar mecharev l'kadosh barneya kederech har seir. V'yafu mehalech achad asayom. It takes 11 days to go from Kodesh, to go from Chorev to Kodesh Barnei, it takes 11 days. But Hashem had compassion. V'atem halachtem oso b'shloish shoyom k'fisa saderech. You're able to travel it in through this. So look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He can do for you anything you want. Just be good to Hashem. Don't sin. If you don't sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for you great miracles. In this pasuk is Merum, as we always lay this pasuk, Achadas Yom on Shabbos Chazon Erev, Erev Tishbav. This is we lay in the Mamash of Tishbav. And this pasuk is Merum is the days of the year which we mourn for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. How many days a year do we really mourn in its full sense for the Churban? 11 days. The 9 days, starting with Rosh Chodesh Av through Tisha B'Av, that is an intense degree of Avelus. No swimming, no Rechitza, Besicha, all of these things are forbidden during the 9 days. When else do we mourn with an intensity? Shavuos Tammuz, the day when Yerushalayim, the walls were breached. And when else do we mourn with an intensity? Tzom Gedalia is already when it's over. Tzom Gedalia, there is truth, but it's already after the Churban. It's a different darga. Asar B'Teves. That's when the siege began. So 9, 10, 11. 9 days plus day number 10 is Shavuos B'Tammuz. Plus Asar B'Teves is the 11th. 11 days a year we intensify our mourning for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Achad Osa Yom Me Choyrev. Choyrev is Lashon of Churban. There are 11 days we focus on the Churban, the Churban, until of Derech Har Seir. Who brought the Churban about? Seir. Who is Seir? Seir is Edom. Seir is another name for Edom. Edom destroyed. Derech Har Seir. This was done through Seir. For how long will we continue to mourn these 11 days because of what Seir has done to us? Ad Kodesh Barneh. Kodesh is Merames. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will one day come and redeem us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will one day come and elevate us and take us out of the Golis. So this pasuk, Achad Asar Yom, Kodesh is the Holy One. Kodesh is the Holy One. So we have here in this pasuk, I just found this to be fascinating, remiss to the 9 days, the 11 days which we mourn for the Churban Beis HaMikdash is found over here in this, and especially you supplement this with Rashi. And Rashi says it didn't have to happen. In these 11 days, it was Kvitzas HaDerech, it only had to happen in 3 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, you didn't need this. You could have done away with this if you only fulfilled Hashem's will. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Which Sabbath says this first?
I don't remember exactly. I think I saw this in Shvilei Pinchas. In the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas. It's not his. It's his Likud. I don't know. I don't remember who said it. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, don't be fooled when I tell you it's Kabbalistic, because it's not all Kabbalistic. It's very simple. Every day, we should say the L'shem Yichud. That's what we should do. It's printed in all the Ashkenaz Siddurim. You have to just come early enough to davening to say the L'shem Yichud. And the L'shem Yichud, besides saying very simple things, what is the purpose of each mitzvah, of tefillin, of talis? It begins with something which appears to be very esoteric, very mystical. L'shem Yichud, the unification, Kudsha Baruch Hu, L'yachet Shem, Yud Kei Bivavke. I'm sure you all heard those words. When you put on your talis and tefillin, when you're doing the mitzvah, the purpose of doing the mitzvah is in order to unify.
Tefillin talis also.
Talis and tefillin, in order to unify. Yudkei bevavkei.
How are you supposed to say it, actually?
You're supposed to say exactly like that. Liachet shem yud. You know, I say it most of the time. I say yudkei.
Yeah, because.
I say yudkei. What is those? He says yudkei. I say Yud K. When I say Yud K, I have to look into it. I do not believe that I'll get back to you. I'm embarrassed to tell you because I say this some of the time. Some of the time, L'shem Yud K B'Vav K. What? That's another nusach. That's not part of the nusach. That's not part of the nusach of Tzulman and Talis. But let's just focus on the word L'yachay to unify the shame Yud K with B'Vav K. What does that mean exactly? There are two shemos. There is Hashem's name has 4 letters. I'm not going to go. There's no Kabbalah. This is as simple as possible. There's Yud Kei. Hashem's name has 4 letters. Yud Hei, and the second is Vav Hei, which spells Havaya, the Shem Hashem. We spoke about this yesterday. We read it. We pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, but it's spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei. But this name is broken up into two parts. First comes the Yud Hey, and then comes the Vav Hey. We learned in Yeshaya, we spent a lot of time on this, Loi Hames Banachnu Nevarech Loi Hamesim Yehallelu Ka. The Mesim Loi Hamesim Yehallelu Ka. I forgot all the details, but we learned in Sefer Yeshaya there's a pasuk that the Neshamos and Shemayim only praise Hashem with the shame Yud Kei. They are denied the ability to relate to Hashem with the full name of Vav Kei. These are mystical things, but that's what it says in the pasuk. It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. It's a chazal. The dead, the Neshamos in the Olam HaEmes, are denied something that the living have. They don't have the ability to say the Vavke. They only praise Hashem with you. Now, what does that mean? Now, just to explain this in the most simplest form, we say in davening multiple times, Yismichu Hashamayim Visogel Haaretz. Four words. May the heavens rejoice, and may the earth exalt. Visogel Haaretz. Two parts. Shamayim and Haaretz. The Rosh Tevos of Yismuchu Hashomayim is Yismuchu Yud, Hashomayim is Hey, Visogel is Vav, Ha'aretz is Hey. In these four words is hidden the Shem Hashem. This is very popular. I'm not telling you any secrets, something which is found in some Hasidic sayings. This is a very popular idea. Yismuchu Hashomayim Visogel Ha'aretz captures the essence of Hashem's name. Now, it's all we need to understand the L'shem Yichud that we say every single day. There's L'shem Hashem. Yud-Kei is Yismichu Hashamayim. Olam Ha'emes. A world of pure spirituality. Visogel Ha'aretz. And there's this world down here. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's eating, drinking, dancing, listening to music, rejoicing. Olam Hazeh. It's a good world. There's what to enjoy. What is the purpose of creation? This is Dvarim Pshutim Ad Me'od. The purpose of creation is to be mechaber ruchnius with gashmius. It's to infuse the gashmius with spirituality. Don't just enjoy yourself. Before you have a pleasure in this world, thank Hashem. You make a bracha. Everything that Hashem gives you on this world is for the purpose of using that benefit, that pleasure, and channeling that hana towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what in essence are we doing when we say L'shem? What are we doing every time that we make a bracha, every time that we have hana, we do something in this world of Hester Panim? What we're really doing is we are combining spirituality with materialism. We're bringing the two together. There's Yismuchu Hashamayim, there's something spiritual up there in heaven, and there's something very material down here with Sagel Aretz. We bring them together. We bring Ruchnis together with Gashmis. Yismichu Hashmayim with Sagel Aretz. So what does it mean then to be Liyached Shem Yud Kei with Vav Kei? To bring together Yismichu Hashamayim with Visogel Haaretz. Yud-Kei is Yismichu Hashamayim. Visogel Haaretz is Vav-Kei. To bring together spirituality with the earth. That's all it means when you say Liyachet Shem Yud-Kei V'Vav-Kei. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let's now focus on something very important. The Bein HaMitzarim, we do something very special. We bring together the four Chumashim of Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, because that's one set. Last week, when we concluded Chumash Bamidbar, Be'arvos Yericho, the last two words, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, that was not just a Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, that was equal to Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra. That was the end of the Torah. When we concluded Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, we really completed the Torah. It should have been Simchas Torah. There's another Chumash. There's a Mishnah Torah. There's a Chazara. Moshe Rabbeinu was Chazara on the entire Torah. Mishnah Torah. But really, the end of the Torah is Chumash Bamidbar. So what are we doing during the Bein HaMitzar? What do we do Shabbos Chazoyin, the last week of the 3 weeks of Shabbos Chazoyin? We are Mechaber. We bring together the four Chumashim, the Tzfilah Shel Rosh, right? The four Chumashim, which represents, according to the Sfas Emes, the Tzfilah Shel Rosh, the four separate compartments, with Chumash Devarim, which is the Tefillah Shel Yad, we're mechaber. Every single year, this is the way Ezra HaSofer constructed, this is the way the Siddur has been established, that during the 9 days, right before we come to Tisha B'Av, we come to be mechaber Bamidbar, which is the end of the first four Chumashim, with Devarim, which is Mishneh Torah. What is the significance? So in a nutshell, what I'm going to try to explain to you is what you know we're doing. We're being miyached, Shem Yudke, Bevavke. What is the difference between the Tefillah Shel Rosh and the Tefillah Shel Yad? The Tefillah Shel Rosh is V'rohu kol ame ha'aretz ki Shem Hashem nikro lecha. The Tefillah Shel Rosh is the Shin. It's the Shem Hashem. It represents Yismichu Hashomayim. It represents spirituality. The first four Chumashim of the Torah is the blueprint, is the ideal. It's Hashem creating the world. Hashem revealing Himself by Matan Torah. Hashem doing Nisim and Niflos. Things that are beyond unusual things. L'mayla m'derech hateva. Things that are extremely spiritual. That's the first four chumashim of the Torah. Bereisha Shemos Vayikra Bamidbar Yismichu Hashemayim Ruchnius. And what is the Devarim? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael, you're now about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we spoke about Golus. Besides Golus, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. And guess what? In Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to have man. There's no miracles anymore. You're going to work the land. You're going to sweat. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to take the earth, the Eretz, and elevate it. It's a harder avoda. In the Midbar, you had Mon, the Be'er. You had Giluyim, Matan Torah. You had the good life. Not the different type. Yismichu Hashemayim. Now it's not so easy. You have to take the Ruchnius that I've given you and bring it into the earth. Bring it into Eretz Yisrael. That is the whole essence of Mishneh Torah, Chumash Devarim. Moshe is saying goodbye to Klal Yisrael. I cannot cross the Yarden. I'm not allowed to enter. You are going to enter. And watch out. Behave yourself when you get there. Don't do avo, worship idols. Don't make trouble. Make sure you give Truman Meiser. Make sure you live a land of holiness in the earth. Make sure you are Makayim Visagel Haaretz. But what kind of Visagel Haaretz? Don't forget to be mechaber it with the four chumashim of Yismichu Hashamayim. What are we doing, Bein HaMitzarim? We're saying L'Shem Yichud. The whole essence of the 3 weeks is L'Yached Shem Yudkei Bevavkei. To be mechaber the four first chumashim with Chumash Devar. What is the Beis HaMikdash? Go back to Chumash Bereishis. Vayipol al tzavore Binyamin vayefch. When Yosef met Binyamin, they cried. And they cry on their necks. Why did Yosef cry on the neck of Binyamin? So what does Rashi say? He saw Piruach HaKodesh, that the Beis HaMikdash will be built in the portion of Binyamin. And it says that Binyamin had two necks. Two necks. How many necks does the person have already? Two necks. It refers to the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Why is the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni compared to the neck of a human being? Because the neck of a person is the chibur between the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. The head is the spiritual essence of the person, and the body is the material part of the person. The neck is the chibur. That's the Beis HaMikdash. And what was Chorav during Tisha B'Av? The Beis HaMikdash. The chibur between Yismichu Hashamayim v'Sagel Haaretz has been broken. The avoda of the Bein HaMitzarim is to be mechaber Chumash Devarim with Chumash Bamidbar, the first four Chumashim with the last Chumash. Liyached Shem Yudkei Bivavkei. Because what is the Beis HaMikdash? It's the Tzavar. The Tzavar is Miyached Yismichu Hashamayim with Visagel Haaretz. This is the essence of the 3 weeks. Okay, we still have time, so let me tell you another remes, another vart, which I have a very, very big chavivus, and this is classic Torah from Rav Moshe Wolfson. Rav Moshe Wolfson, he takes, this is a passage in Parashat Lech Lecha, that Hashem promises Avram Avinu 10 lands. Aknani, Hoemor, Vyaprizi, Vyavusi, Vyagoshi. Okay, I'm not reading from anywhere, I'm just reading from verse just from memory. And then part of the 10 nations, part of the 10 lands that Hashem promised, Avram Avinu was Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni. There are a total, if you look in Parashat Lech Lecha, you will find that Avram was promised 10 sections of land, which will be part of the total Eretz Yisrael, to be given to his children in due time. It will be a gift to Avram Avinu. Problem is, Klal Yisrael only conquered 7 of those 10. They never conquered Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni. Never got it. Go study Tanakh. It never happened. During the Bayesheni, it certainly didn't happen. What happened? So what's going on? Hashem is good for his word. Hashem promised Avram Avinu, you're going to receive 10 lands. We got Kenani, Hachiti, Hoemorvi, Aparizi, Vayavusi, Vihagoshi. We got all those lands. But what happened to Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni? So the Gemara asked the question. And the Gemara says, that's for La'osilava. That's not for now. Those 3 lands that were promised to Avraham, we will receive when Mashiach comes. That will be the ultimate conquest. What are those lands? We pretty much know what the other 7 are. But what are Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni? So the Gemara Megillah has a discussion. There are many, many opinions. What those lands are, we don't even know. When the Gemara gives us different names, we don't even know what those names are referring to. But there is one opinion which is very popular, that Keni and Knizi refer to the lands of Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab are on the Eiver HaYarden. They are our neighbors. They are, I guess today, Syria and Turkey, in that area.
Yeah, to the north.
Okay, I don't know. Syria for sure. Okay, I don't know. I think about it. Well, Jordan is really part of Eretz Yisrael, the main part of Eretz Yisrael. Jordan is really ours.
Moab, we usually think of is east of Jordan.
Yeah. No, but I think Jordan is really part of Eiver, is part of the real Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. It's not a point. I don't know. I think about it. I shouldn't say what I don't know. Okay, but there is lands of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Keni, one opinion, the Gemara, Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni correspond to Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain conquered. What did they? They came to Moshe Rabbeinu in last week's parasha, Parshas Matos. We don't want to pass over the Yarden. We have cattle, and we want to stay right here. How were they allowed to stay right there? But Rashi tells us, but that land was owned. That was part of Ammon and Moab. And in fact, this is what's even more difficult. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael that don't start off with Ammon and Moab.
Right.
You're not allowed. Al tiska b'muchama. Ammon and Moab, you're not allowed to chepa. Don't bother them. How then was Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven allowed to take land that belongs to Ammon and Moab when Hashem told us you're not allowed to have land of Ammon and Moab? So obviously Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael that even though I promised your forefather Avram Avinu all 10 lands, which include Ammon, Moab, and Seir, you should know that you're not getting it now. You're going to have to wait for Achris Hayamim. And in the meantime, don't make trouble. Don't start up. Don't take it away from them. So how then was Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven allowed to take that land? So Rashi tells us because Sichoin was Metaher, Sichon and Og conquered these lands from Ammon and Moab. Even though it's true that it was once upon a time belonged to Ammon and Moab, but it was taken away from them by Sichon. So when Sichon conquered these lands, it was cleansed. It came under new ownership. Now that it came under new ownership, there was no prohibition for us to go and take away these lands from Sichon, even though originally it came from Ammon and Moab. Okay, so the truth was, it's very interesting, that we did get a token fulfillment, a token, at least, of conquering the lands of Ammon and Moab. It was not done directly. It was done partially. It was not all of their lands. It was at least a segment of the lands that was done through a process of cleansing through Sihon. But what about Edom? Edom, we got nothing. Edom, we never touched. We didn't get any part. That's left over for Yimos HaMashiach. And the Wolfson says, we know that we have 10 parshios that surround the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Gimel de Paranusa and Shiva de Nechemta. After Tisha B'Av, for the next 7 weeks, We start with Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. There are seven haftaros. Normally the haftarah relates to the parasha. We break from relating the haftarah to the parasha, and we focus on Me'in HaMa'ora. We focus on the Churban, the Chama, 7 weeks of comfort for Klal Yisrael after Tisha B'Av. What about the 3 weeks leading up to the Churban? They're called the Gimel de Paranusa. 3 weeks of Musar, of warning that there's going to be punishment. We lay in the first 2 weeks from Yirmiyah. Those are the first 2 weeks. Parshas Pinchas and Parshas Matos Maseh are harsh words of warning and Musar from Yirmiyah. And then Parshas Chazon, tomorrow. Chazon we read from Yeshaya, the beginning of Yeshaya. Musar! Very, even though Yeshaya generally is Divrei Nechama, but the beginning of Yeshaya, as we all know, is gloom and doom. So tomorrow we read from Yeshaya the ultimate gloom and doom, warning what's going to be Chazon Yeshaya Ben Amos about the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Gimel de Paranusa. So Rabbi Wolfson says these seven parashos correspond to the seven lands that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu. The seven lands that we did receive. That those seven lands correspond to the Zion, the Nechemta. Hashem is giving us comfort by showing us, listen, I give you Eretz Yisrael. You have Eretz Yisrael. You'll return to Eretz Yisrael. You'll have these three nations. But now in Golus, the first 3 weeks, we focus on the Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoini. That's Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Matos Maseh, and Parshas Devarim. Parshas Pinchas and Matos Maseh correspond to Keni and Kenizi. Amon Umoav. Amon Umoav have caused us great harm. In fact, the Chazal tell us that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Amon Umoav and the Kinos, they came running in to the Beis Hamikdash, and they were looking for something. Everyone was running and looking for gold and silver. Take away the kelim, and there was enormous wealth to be seen. They couldn't care less about the wealth. The only thing they wanted to find in the Beis HaMikdash was the Sefer Torah. They went for the Aron Kodesh. Because it says in the Sefer Torah, Lo Yovi Amoy Umoyoy B'Kal Hashem. And they went, they looked for the Sefer Torah, and they found where it says in the Sefer Torah, Lo Yovi Amoy Umoyoy B'Kal Hashem, and they ripped it out. And they were mavaz of the Sefer Torah. That was their agenda. They didn't come running into the Beis HaMikdash for money. They came running to find that pasuk in the Sefer Torah of Ezra or the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu lying there in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what they wanted. They caused us great tzara, Amon Umoav. They tormented us. They harmed us. Yeshaya speaks about all the prophecies of their punishment for what they've done to us. They correspond to Pinchas, Matos, and Maaseh. They caused us tzara, but we're not in Avelos during those. We don't fast. And then comes Parshas Chazon. Parshas Chazon is Edoim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Parshas Chazon is part of the 9 days. The other two parashios are part of the 3 weeks. To a certain degree, we conquered them. Sichon conquered Amon and Moav, and we took part of their land. They also caused us very great harm. Edoim, we have no shaychus to Edom. Edom, we never took any of their land, and Edom destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Rome is Edom. Titos Harasha is Edom, and they destroyed, and therefore Parshas Devarim corresponds, is the Gimel de Paranusa corresponding to Kadmoini, the nation of Kadmoini that destroyed the base. And so to summarize, we have 10 different nations that Hashem promised Abraham. 7 were given to us, 3 were not. From the 3 that were not, 2, there was a partial gift through Sichon, 1, nothing. The 7 that were given to us correspond to the Shiva de Nechemta. The 3 that were not given to us correspond to the Gimel de Paranusa. In the 3 that were not given, there are 2 different madrigals. There is Pinchas Matas Maseh Amun Umoyav, which is a mix of Tsar but not the intensity, relatively speaking, to Shabbos Chazon. And Shabbos Chazon is Edom, who has indeed destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, one last short idea. Parshas Devarim. We're learning Yeshaya, so we have a little bit of a taste of the prophets, of the Nevi'im. In the beginning of Parshas Devarim, We have a very difficult concept. No, not the Haftarah. Now go into the Parsha. So it's a short idea. The beginning of the Parsha, Eile hadvar v'ashadiber Moshe el kol Yisrael. Moshe speaks to Bnei Yisrael. Be'eve hayardein, ba'midbor v'arova, mol sof, bein poron, bein toifel, v'lom ha'chaset zizof. And then it goes on, this achara sayom, he says all of these different things. Achad osayom echad erech asir achad kodesh v'nei v'ahi b'ar b'mshan b'yashar yashar chodesh. All of a sudden it says Diber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael. There appears to be repetition. First it says Eila hadar masher Diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. Then the next pasuk it says Diber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem osay aleihem. Why do we need to repeat? Why do we need to repeat these two expressions? What's going on? Why the repetition? Why does the first few psukim of the Torah first tell us Moshe spoke? He's then merames. He lists off a whole series of locations, and Rashi explains in detail that each one of these locations we committed a sin. And then, nochamo, Moshe began to speak and he began to explain Kol HaTorah Kula. So Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik says a beautiful, beautiful idea. And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a very unique individual, as we know. He served two functions. He was a prophet. He was a Navi. Av HaNeviim. It's one of the Animanim. It's a whole Animanim just for that. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all prophets. But Moshe Rabbeinu was more than just a prophet. He was a Melamed. He was our Rebbe. It's a very big difference between a Rebbe and a Navi. A Navi is a preacher. Musar. Stands. Gives Musar. Tells you everything you're doing is no good. A Rebbe also gives Musar. But a Rebbe's primary function is to teach. Yeshaya, we don't find Yeshaya serving as a Rebbe. Yeshaya was just a prophet. All of the Nevi'im in Tanakh are just Nevi'im. They're not Melamdim. Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu. But he's also the Av HaNevi'im. So Yitzchak Zev Leib Soloveitchik says beautifully, he says that's why it said it refers to Moshe twice. The first time refers to Moshe Midin, a prophet. The second time, Hoyel Moshe Be'er Zatar Azos as Moshe Rabbeinu, a Melamed. He's our Rebbe. Be'er Satara Hazos, seven languages, a Rebbe. That's what our Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, a beautiful idea. Now with that, we can go further. We can go further by asking a very similar question. In the beginning of the parasha, we have here a list of places. We have Be'er Hayardein, Bamidbar, Barova, Molsuf, Bein Paron, Bein Toifel, Lovan, Chatzeros, Rashi says, Moshe didn't want to come on too strong. He didn't want to, lash out at Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to go on a tirade. So he just said a few words. Each word, they knew what he was referring to. He gave them Musar very delicately. Here's a word, you know what I mean. This place, you know what we did here. In this place, he was very delicate. Really, Moshe is so delicate? Go look later on in Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu, he gives it to Klal Yisrael, but the Egel, and what they did, and all the different places, you read parashas Veschad and Ekev Re'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu has no trouble lashing out at Klal Yisrael in minute detail for their sins. So what's going on? All of a sudden, Moshe is so delicate, Klal Yisrael. But later we see explicitly, I can't go a little absurd, but later we see explicitly that he was very harsh. How do we understand this? So you answer simply that when you start out, you first get up to speak in front of the microphone, very nice and polished. You just can't get there and start ranting and raving. You have to start out very delicate. And then, as time goes on, then you go and you let them have it. That's very a simple approach. But with Rav Yitzchak Zev Levi Soloveitchik, his approach is much, much, much better. And Moshe was delicate. That was when he served in the role as a Navi, prophet. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up in front of the microphone, I'm the prophet for Klal Yisrael. It's polished for the media. Prophet has to be very delicate and controlled, restrained. But when Moshe Rabbeinu gives Musar to Klal Yisrael as a Rebbe, as Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a different relationship. A Rebbe to a Talmud, you can say things much differently than when you speak in the role of a Navi. A Rebbe to a Talmud is like a father to a child. A father talks to a child very different than the rabbi speaks to his congregants. It's a whole different type of relationship. So that is another way to answer the contradiction, using the Yisoid of the Brisker Rav, that's another way to answer the contradiction in Chumash Devarim, why in the beginning of Chumash Devarim, Moshe gives Musar very delicately. Whereas in the end of Chumash Devarim, Moshe gives Musar very powerfully. Why? Because the beginning of Chumash Devarim is relating to Klal Yisrael as a prophet. Towards the end of Chumash Devarim, he's giving Musar as a Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, different relationship, a different way of speaking, a different way of relaying, conveying Musar to Klal Yisrael. Okay, I want to wish you all a meaningful and easy fast, and we should all be zeicha kol ha-mes'abel al churbana. Zoyche v'roye b'simchasa. Take care, have a wonderful Shabbos.